Hallelujah. And he said he will open the windows. Amen. Well, you know, what we just did is what we call, it's a spiritual law. And in God's spiritual laws, which he has established, these are laws that he's established for us here in this realm. Because when we enter the other realm where we're from, we have everything prepared for us. And there isn't anything that we will lack there. So the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That word want means lack. See, truly when he is your shepherd, that means in relationship with him, you won't lack anything. Now, there is a process. Now, the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to bring life and life abundantly. And there's an area where we live a life, abundant life, but it'd be nice if we could just drive through and it starts and complete it instantly, you know. There's no instant with God. There are miracles that are instant. Amen? Praise God. But there are things that he brings us in. It's a process, and the process is so that we learn and so that we can teach others also. Even Jesus, when he was here in this realm, he went to the synagogues and he learned, even though he really nobody needed to really teach him, but he still had to learn because he put on flesh, didn't he? And in this, he now says, come and learn from me, because freedom is learned. And in this freedom of learning, these are called eternal ways. So eternal ways are the area where God eternally has established something and he releases it and brings it into the natural realm, because you and I are eternal now. Now you and I must walk in eternal ways to maintain eternal life. So you can't walk in natural ways and carnal ways to maintain an eternal life. It's impossible. The way you maintain an eternal life is to walk in eternal ways. Is everybody with me? Would you turn to Psalm 81? Psalm 81. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this is your day. And if you fall asleep, I'm going to slap you. I've never heard a pastor say that. Praise God you did today. Maybe some of them need to say it more. Hallelujah. Psalm 81. Is everybody there? In verse 8. Would you read it with me? Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel. When God speaks of Israel, he also speaks of us as the body of Christ. O Israel, if you will what? Listen to me. There shall be no what? Foreign God among you. Those are idols. Nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. The word Egypt means world, worldly ways. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me. That Israel would walk in my ways. And what kind of ways are his? Eternal ways. I would soon subdue their enemies. Now listen, this is a promise from God that as you begin to walk in his eternal ways, he says, I'll subdue your enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him. Woo! There's a lot of people that pretend submission. But their fate will endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat. This wheat represents revelation knowledge. He would have fed them with the finest of wheat. Now, we know naturally it means food, doesn't it? But spiritually it means revelation knowledge. And with the honey from the rock. Well, let me tell you something. Honey doesn't come from a rock. But I'll tell you what does. His spirit. And I would have what? Satisfied you. You know, when you're satisfied, there's something called peace. Amen. Peace. The greatest thing that you can have is know that you have pleased God. And that is called peace. So we see there where he would release revelation knowledge. He would release his spirit. And we would have peace. We would be satisfied. Why? What's the only way that this can happen? If we what? Walk in eternal ways. God subdues enemies, brings revelation knowledge, and filling us with his spirit to be satisfied with peace, not torment. Again, his ways are eternal. His ways are eternal. And this is his will. It is his will that you and I walk in eternal ways. In other words, what he wants us to do is to be able to see through the eyes of God. He wants us to see what he sees. Is everybody okay? Not through the eyes of the carnal or the man, but to see what God sees in every area. Go to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Eternal ways. Everybody there? Let's read this together in verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Oh, wait a minute now. So, if his eternal ways he desires us to walk in, it says that his ways are what? Righteous. His ways are what? Righteous. Gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. Everybody say in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who what? Fear him. That means reverence, honor, and respect him. Reverence, honor, and respect him. He also will hear the cry, their cry, and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he shall destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. It says, his ways are which way? Righteous. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways. His eternal ways are righteous. So if he desires me and you to walk in his eternal ways, the will of God is to practice righteousness. Is everybody with me? Everyone say the will of God is to practice righteousness. Hebrews 10. Don't say Hebrews 10, just go there. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, I really believe that many people struggle with what is the will of God for their life. What is the will of God for my life? Thank God you don't have one. Hello. Chapter 10 and verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. You had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. He takes away the first to establish the what? Second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. In other words, Jesus came to manifest the will of God, didn't he? In the natural realm and his kingdom. He came to be the example of his character to man. So when he says, I've come to do the will of my Father, are you with me? His will was to be the example of practicing righteousness. Has everybody got it? So everybody keeps going, what is the will of God for my life? The will of God is that you practice righteousness. See, so many people are trying to do things for God, but they haven't established the first part of the will of God, which is to practice righteousness. Go to Matthew 6. Eternal ways is his will, and his will is to practice righteousness. Matthew 6, verse 31. Everybody okay? So did you think that you were going to get this blueprint? A blueprint to tell you what to do for the rest of your life? No. God doesn't release a blueprint to you. Because we'd end up changing plans. That's why we're to be led by the Spirit. Amen. In verse 31, please read this with me. Therefore, do not what? Worry. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Or where should I live? And dun, 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 dun. Sounds like a dance of carnality. In verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. In other words, as you begin to practice righteousness, God begins to release promises. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Again, grab hold of this. We are to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is his will to all of his children. His will is to practice righteousness first of all. Not go do things of building the kingdom of God. You cannot build the kingdom of God without practicing righteousness. He won't allow it. Has everybody got it? Isn't the scripture say that prayer, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done. But so many people are trying to build the kingdom without practicing righteousness. That's why they usually bring shame to the name of the Lord. They're so busy trying to go do things for God, they haven't learned how to practice righteousness or maintain it. And there's an area where God requires righteousness. That is his will. The will of God is you and God. Not you and your children, not you and your spouse, not you and your job. The will of God is you and God. And in that will between you and God, it is to fulfill and practice righteousness. If you are not practicing righteousness, you are not fulfilling the will of God. Has everybody got it? Good. Now, in other words, that is the first part of fulfilling the will of God is for you to practice righteousness. Would you turn to Romans 12 for a minute, please? Romans 12. Verse 1, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. So sacrifice that body. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your what? Reasonable service or your responsibility. Is that a part of the will of God? Yes. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, let me explain something to you that is very, very important. Because that is a representation. In the will of God, the first part of the will of God to fulfill is that you and I practice righteousness. Then there is the calling. Then there's the purpose. Then there's the destiny. Has everybody got it? Now, you see the three wills of God here. And depending in the area of your righteousness, how you are walking upright with God. Whether you're obedient, is obedient the will of God? Would that be practicing righteousness? What about disobedience? No. Has everybody got it? So your first priority is to practice the righteousness of God. That is the will of God between you and God. Then the other part of his will is to fulfill your calling. And your calling is to battle. And your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Now your destiny is to utilize the gifts and talents that God has imparted in you to infiltrate the marketplace, the world, so that you can be used as a rescue. No matter what it is, no matter where you are, whatever your job, whatever your talent, whatever it is. And of course, you're to maintain practicing righteousness or everything else will crumble. So what is the will of God between you and God? To practice righteousness. That is the will of God. So we are not only to practice it, but we are to maintain it, aren't we? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. That's what's called eternal ways. Why? Because you're now walking in his likeness. The Bible says, imitate God. Now you can only do that with the Spirit. You can't do it in your own strength. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why you need to be empowered with the Spirit. In Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, everyone say obeyed. Obeyed. Is that fulfilling the will of God? Yes. Amen. Is that practicing righteousness? Yes. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Fear is reverence, respect, and honor. For it is God who works in you both to what? To will and to do for his good pleasure. So he says, that's okay. So to will is to what? It's to do his will, right? So by doing where it says to will means to what? Practice what? Righteousness. So we are to not only practice righteousness, but maintain righteousness. Now go to verse 14 and he begins to explain certain things. He says, do all things without complaining or disputing. Is that practicing righteousness? No. Doing without, yeah. But if you're doing those things, are you practicing it? No. That you may become what? Blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a what? Crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. So if for you to shine as lights in the world, do you need to practice righteousness? Yes. Yes. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Powerful. So God is working in us to will and to do. In other words, the will is to practice righteousness, and to do is to build and expand the kingdom by your call, your purpose, and your destiny. You will build the kingdom and expand the kingdom by your call, your purpose, and your destiny. Now, but the will of God between you and God is what? To practice righteousness. So the foundation of everything is to practice righteousness. Do you understand that? So when you begin to flaw or fall short or sway from practicing righteousness, you will find out that your call to battle is weak. You'll find out that your purpose begins to diminish. And you'll find out that your destiny is beginning to get destroyed. Is everybody okay? Eternal ways is the will of God to practice righteousness. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's read it, please. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him, that means Jesus, does not sin. Whoever sins, he has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is what? Righteous. Just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the what? Devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the what? Of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. I want to repeat that again. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So can you start off in an arena of practicing righteousness and then not practice righteousness? Wow. So can you walk away from salvation? Yes. Why? Because you're not what? Practicing righteousness. Nor is he who does not love his brother. Does everybody got this? Now, practicing righteousness. Righteousness is the eternal ways of God. It's associated with his character and image and likeness. It's associated also with attitude, motives, desires, and obedience to his voice. In other words, we must check our motives all the time. It is a selfish motive. Are you listening? Is my motive to expand the kingdom of God? Is my motive to help? Or is my motive to steal, kill, and destroy? So you must know whether you're practicing the attributes of God or the attributes of the devil. And you know whether you're doing it or not. You know, because there's conviction. Now, you can put that conviction underneath your feet many times and keep stumbling over it. But there's torment where you are not practicing righteousness. The addicted is tormented who doesn't practice righteousness. The unforgiver is tormented who doesn't practice righteousness. The pride is torment because they don't practice righteousness. Are you listening? I'm telling you, the will of God between you and God is to practice righteousness. If you're not practicing righteousness, it is impossible to maintain the true peace of God. And you'll try to buy peace all the time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. That's a life of unrighteousness. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the what? Rules. So the rules are called eternal ways, and the eternal ways is for you and me to practice righteousness. So for you and I to be crowned with life, righteousness must be practiced and maintained. Is everybody okay? Why? Now you are fulfilling the will of God. Let's go to Romans 6. That's called rules of righteousness. Romans chapter 6. And verse 11. Romans 6:11. You'll love this one. Would you read it with me? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead, indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that from of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So obedience leading to righteousness. That means you are fulfilling the will of God by practicing righteousness. Remember, the will of God is between you and God, and the will of God is to practice righteousness. So you may ask yourself, what's the will of God for my life? Well, let me tell you, it's to practice righteousness. And as you practice righteousness, everything begins to fall into place. Your calling, your purpose, and your destiny. Your calling, your purpose, and your destiny. So many people are trying to get to their destiny without fulfilling the first part of God's will, and that's to practice righteousness. Matthew 7. That's why the Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Submit to God, then you can resist the devil. So is submitting to God practicing righteousness? Yes. So if you're not practicing righteousness, are you submitting to God? No. Are you able to resist the devil if you're not submitting to God? No. Anybody not understand that? Praise God. So next time you say, Lord, thy will be done, you know what it's to be done. Lord, what's your will for me? You know what the will is. Practice righteousness, then your call will be fulfilled. Then your purpose will start being fulfilled. Then your destiny. Has everybody got it? A lot of jumpers. A lot of jumpers in the body of Christ. They want to jump from salvation to destiny. Don't work that way. When you fulfill the will of God, and that is the first part, is practice righteousness, everything begins to fall into place. Verse 14, glory. Let's read this, please. Now let's start at 13. What does it say? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Now, would those who practice righteousness go that way or unrighteous? Unrighteous. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall what? Know them. So you need to examine your own fruits, don't you? Verse 21, are you ready? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the what? Will of my Father in heaven. Now what is that will? To practice righteousness. See, so many people think it's building churches. It's evangelizing. It's doing all kinds of things. Prophesying. No, the will of God for me and you is to practice righteousness. Has everybody got it? Verse 22, are you ready? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And Jesus answered And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. Why? Because they were out going out trying to build the kingdom of God without doing the will of God. And that is to practice righteousness. Even though they prophesied, even though they spoke in tongues, even though they cast out devils, even though they laid hands on the sick and they got healed, but behind closed doors, they practiced lawlessness. They did not practice righteousness, which is the will of God. So they didn't do the will of God. Does everybody got this? See, the will of God is not about building the kingdom. The will of God is, first of all, practicing righteousness. Then you are authorized to build his kingdom. And the moment you stop practicing righteousness, you are disqualified. Hallelujah. Romans 3.
You mean I can't live with that person and not be married?
Right. See, it's our responsibility to search things out. I can't tell you how many people practice unrighteousness. Let me tell you, who you vote for, you can practice unrighteousness. Hello? Why? Because you're approving of their practices. And you'll be judged the same way. Romans chapter 3. That's why the Bible tells us don't be unevenly yoked with those who are unbelievers and those who practice lawlessness. Don't be yoked with them. So he says, come out from among them. Verse 10. As it is written, there is no righteous, none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands, there's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have what? Practice deceit. The poison of saps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of what? Cursing and bitterness. So is that practicing righteousness? No. So is God going to entrust that individual to prophesy? With him backing it. Has everybody got it? See, there's people that can go out, cast out devils, and prophesy, but it doesn't mean God's backing it. Now, God will utilize, he can use a donkey. Because his purpose is that all men be saved. But eventually, everybody will stand before God. And that's when he said to them, okay, so you did all these things, cool. And all those people got saved and healed. For my glory, but you go to hell because you practice unrighteousness. But Lord, come on, I glorified you. No. You used me and I allowed it to rescue my people, but you go to hell. Well, that doesn't sound like a loving God. No, he's called a justice God, and his ways are righteous. And if you're not willing to practice righteousness, you will go to hell too. Amen? Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. Why? Because they're not practicing righteousness. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is called lawlessness. So everybody got it? Go to Ephesians 4. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. You want to know the truth, right? Praise God. Well, you come to the right park. Ephesians 4:17. Is everybody there? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the world in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. What is the life of God? To practice what? righteousness. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, they have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness. And what? True righteousness and what? Holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another. Be kind to what? One another, forgiving, being tenderhearted, and forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also has loved us, giving himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as if it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Powerful. So the will of God is to practice righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 17. Let's read this together. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not what? Obey the gospel of Christ. Why? Because obeying the gospel of Christ is what? Practicing righteousness. Look at verse 18. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the what? Will of God or what? Practicing righteousness, commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Judgment. Judgment is in the house of God. And God is bringing conviction. He's bringing chastening to the house of God in a mighty way. He must judge his house before he can judge the world. And I'm going to close at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. So don't be running around trying to do all kinds of stuff until you start practicing righteousness. Let's read this. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to do the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? Proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. In other words, you're hanging around with someone that isn't practicing righteousness or desires to practice righteousness. Depart. You know, the Bible tells us that, what is it? Bad habits corrupt good company. Bad company corrupts good habits. That's it. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That doesn't mean that you can't be rich. It means that they've put money as a priority in their life instead of practicing righteousness. But you, O man and woman of God, flee these things and pursue what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So what is the will of God for you? To practice righteousness. Hallelujah. So now you don't have to ask the Lord what's his will. Amen. Praise God. You know what his will is. It's to practice righteousness. Then everything will fall into place. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your will. We are awesomely blessed this morning to know that the thing that you desire of your will is that we practice righteousness, and then everything else will unfold. So, Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Let this seed grow and bear fruit in each and every one. Let your kingdom be established in us and through us as we practice righteousness. And let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.